From Daytona to Homestead, the 2008 NASCAR Sprint Cup is only on North Sound 1380 ESPN Radio. North Sound Racing with Steve Mortland continues on North Sound 1380 ESPN Radio.
Craig, I'm standing here with George Jefferson. We're walking over towards the winning car. George, what is the secret to building a race car to win here at the Monroe 500? Making it handle. Making it outpower me. You know, outhandle me with new tires. But I was just hoping we could go 60 laps. That last time we could run him down, and we was running about a half a second a lap there right at the end. You know, with the quality of the Winston Cup for a course milling machine, you folks put up a tremendous battle today and a tremendous win. I bet you're awfully proud of Chad Little. Really, really proud. He's going to be a hell of a driver. Congratulations, George Jefferson. Back to you.
And welcome back to Evergreen Speedway on the North Sound Racing Special Edition coverage of the Washington 500 as we are 30 laps into the first race of the night, with the Les Schwab Bombers out on the course with the double zero of Lane Sundholm in first place along with Joe Lang in second place as we've had a spin at lap 30 with
Bill Mann.
Quite a save, too.
Came off of turn four, and he saved it one way and saved it the other, and then finally he just gave up, and the trunk lid flew off.
Let's go down to Tom Glitherow as he's been down, and he's got probably the best seat in the house for this. What do you think of this Bomber show so far, Tom?
So far, I think it's lived up to its billing. A couple of things that kind of come to mind are the words of Jason Frazier, take care of those tires. I see some cars out there with right rears are a little mad at them right now. They're not handling very well. Second observation, the leader and the second place car, Sundholm and Lang, both run out of the same shop. But they'll put the fender to each other. They'll turn each other. Don't count Calgill out. He may be the man that's going to take the hardware home tonight.
All right, Tom, you're going to break away because you've got some work to do tonight. You've got to spot a couple races. Your observations of the day so far, and allow me to thank you so much for helping us out today.
You know, I really enjoyed it. I cut my vacation short to come back to do this. I appreciate it. I want to do it again. I got Shane Harding starting on the pole in the tour race, and I think we can bring him home a winner tonight. Got a little baby, and I know he wants to win real bad, so I'm looking forward to that. I appreciate everything.
Hey, thanks a lot. Tom Glitherow and Dan, as they're looking to see if they're going to give one more lap as they're still getting the...
I think they're trying to get everybody lined up in position. These cars, a lot of them don't run radios, and they don't have any communication with NASCAR, so they have the officials down on the track pointing and shuffling.
So let's say... Oh, man, Joe Nealon's just getting...
Well, no, he's getting back in his proper position.
Oh, he is, okay.
They have to go off of scoring. These cars don't run... transponders or anything, so they have scorekeepers up here, and everybody has to get their notes together and figure out where everybody belongs.
We've got Sprint Cup racing coming up tomorrow afternoon here on North Sound 1380, taped late right after the Everett Aqua Sox game. Should be about 4 o'clock with Jimmy Johnson on the pole. The Nationwide Series Kroger 200 was running today at O'Reilly Raceway Park, just outside of Indianapolis, with Colin Brown. Who's that on the pole?
Colin Brown.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, I think he runs a Roush car, doesn't he?
Could be.
I'm not positive.
He's fast. Kyle Busch
is
on
the... They do have their numbers on there.
Yeah, they do.
That's a 16.
That makes all kinds of sense. With Kyle Busch on the outside and Cale Gayle, who's... I think that's a name we might want to remember coming up because Cale Gayle is really making some noise in the Nationwide Series. But, again, the tape-delayed broadcast of the Brickyard All-State 400 at the Brickyard NASCAR Nextel Cup.
Man,
we didn't set up a fine system, so I'm okay. But sprint car racing coming up. Looking to see they're going to give. They're still getting this.
Yeah, no, they're still
out.
Trying to get everybody straightened out here. They still have officials running all over the track.
This brings back memories.
Yeah,
doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you know, and the thing is that you sit there and you watch.
They're red flagging
because the drivers see. Not all race car drivers are real bright.
No.
And I'm bright enough to know that I'm not real bright.
Probably shouldn't be in one.
But
right?
They don't understand when they're trying to put one car in front of another. And what happens a lot of the time, too, is that another driver thinks that he deserves that spot, and he knows that he's not moving out of the way. So the official basically stops the race, goes over to the driver and says, you know, another car belongs in front of you, you need to slow down, you know, you let him in.
Chill out.
Or you get the black flag, so.
Well, we know that the first four places are relatively under control.
Well, you know, it's just like Tom was saying, though. You know, I mean, this is a big crowd. It's a lot of professional drivers, and they're looking to put on a show, and they're trying to get noticed. That's the way a lot of these guys get noticed for different rides, whether it is just in a super stock. A lot of these bomber guys, this is the first time that they've been on the 5.8s. They're rookies this year. That's why you have such a big difference in speed of the pole sitters and then the people starting in the back. It's experience.
I just want you to know that I am personally responsible for selling the rear U-joint in the number 27 car that's currently in second place.
Really?
Yeah.
So if it comes out, then
if it comes out, it's on me.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan, I was wondering if I could trouble you to pop off the headphones, and we're going to do a quick interview with the motorsports writer for the Everett Herald, Scott Whitmore, joins us. Scott, you've been out here all afternoon, and what's your impression so far of the Washington 500?
Well, I think there's a tremendous amount of horsepower out there. There's a lot of money in that infield.
Isn't there, though? Who said what recession? What economy problem,
yeah,
huh?
What economy problem? Yeah, that's right. $4.50 a gallon, what?
Yeah, and they made it up here. They may have tag-teamed it up, but nice-looking field of cars in all four series out here this afternoon.
That's right. It looks like, and the weather is holding up real nice. It's a good crowd. It's going to be great.
All right, a little over halfway through the season, not only out here at Evergreen Speedway, but around the Pacific Northwest as well, and you've covered it all,
but not well.
Sometimes seems like too much all that at times,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It is. Sometimes you can't, there's not enough hours in the day to do justice to it. We need more writers, more auto racing writers.
What's been the highlight so far for you out of all the racing that you've covered?
Actually, I think watching the racing out here this season. You've talked about it a little bit, the changes that they've made, the double file restarts and the heat races and things like that. There's been some really good racing out here.
It's been a lot of fun, I've made it. I was trying to think how many racetracks I've been to this season alone, everybody to a track has just been, obviously, this entertainment dollar, as you well know, mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. just so tight and so, you know, mm-hmm. difficult to A, come up with, and B, to, you know, try and attract people to get to come out to your track. So tracks are doing a lot of innovative things mm-hmm. to fill up the stands. Nice crowd out here today out mm-hmm. at Evergreen Speedway. And, I think it's a real testament to not only the racers, but the guys, you know, like Lex and Terry out here and Steve up at Skagit, to what they're doing to try and keep those things going.
You're right. When I talked to Mickey Beadle before, he was selling the promotership over to Lex Johnson here at the Speedway, I asked him, I said, you know, if the economy goes in the tank, this was several months ago, he says, what's that going to do for the Speedway out here? And he says, it won't affect them at all.
Mm-hmm.
He says, this is great family entertainment that's close to home. He says, I would expect that attendance will go up, as a matter of fact, which is interesting. I was talking to Dennis Huth in the infield earlier. He's the president of ASA, American
right.
Speed Association, who sanctions the Northwest Tour. And he's traveled around seeing ASA tracks and series and around the country, and he said that is exactly the case. He says local tracks, the attendance is up that he's seen, and it's for that very reason. He said a lot of people are having what he called staycations.
Staycations, yeah.
Staycations, that's right. And he said that's just not here. It's everywhere else.
Cool. So what's your prediction for all four classes out here this afternoon?
Well, I made my predictions. They're on my website. Let me go ahead and do that, www.heraldnet.com/autoracing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the hookup. Actually, for the Bombers, if everything holds to course, then I'm looking good. If Lane Sundholm out front was my pick for the Bombers. And I picked Nema Lang to get back into victory stage for the Super Stocks. And let's see, for the Northwest Tour, I went with Gary Lewis. It's hard to beat that guy. I mean, he's 4-for-4 right now.
There's a no-brainer, huh?
Yeah, he's red hot. And did you talk about the fact he had to change his rear end in the infield?
You know,
that doesn't matter. Every race that he's won, he's had to do something major to the car.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's always drama.
That's right.
But him and his crew, they just absolutely go out there and tear it up. It's just really, really impressive.
Right. Hard to pick against him, although Jason Frazier is going to give him a run for his money, I think. And for the tour, because I don't know those guys, or for the West Series, excuse me, I don't know those guys that well, so I became a total homer and and went with Jeff Barkshire.
Excellent.
Although I had time to eat lunch with Jeff Jefferson yesterday, and I'll tell you, either of the Jeffs I would be perfectly pleased to see. They're both really great guys, and it'd be great to see either of them be on getting that big trophy.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming up, Scott, and check them out. Everett Herald. Writer, automotive for the Everett Herald, Scott Whitmore, and I think our special guest of the afternoon out here at Evergreen Speedway, if you want to go ahead and put those on, Chad Little joins us. First of all, Chad, welcome to the North Sound Racing microphones. Good to have you here. How's it feel to be back out at Evergreen Speedway, man?
You know, it always feels good. I get to do this once every couple of years, come back here, and a lot of good memories for me at this track. You know, it kind of it helped launch my career. Moving back east, without a question, won a couple of those 500 lappers and was taken notice by a couple of the guys back east and opened doors, and it was, you know, it's a big deal, and to come back here, it's always good memories.
Well, if you don't mind, I have a little something that I've been dying for you to hear. It's your last lap of your win out here in 1986 when it was broadcast on KRKO. Gary, can you go ahead and fire that off, please?
Peterbilt with the truck broker Ford, running smoothly down with the grand number three, coming down the crowd from back to the face, the second flag is out, the second flag number 11, here he comes, and the second flag is out, and it's Chad Little! Chad Little wins the 1986 Peterbilt Winston Washington 500 NASCAR stock car race here at Evergreen Speedway in Monroe.
22 years ago that happened, man.
Pretty That's pretty cool. Where can I get a copy of that?
I can give me an address and I'll make sure that you get it.
Yeah, but, that's great. That's that was real special.
Good to be back out here.
Yeah, it always is. You know, I'm I grew up in Spokane, and I still have a lot of family out there.
Uh-huh.
Grandparents and aunts and uncles, and my father lives there, and so I always combine a visit with them when I come out here, and so, you know, a lot of important reasons to stay tied to the Northwest, and I think I love the weather out here. You know, I live in Charlotte, and I've been back there about 19 years now, and I think I'm still not used to the humidity and the weather that you have to deal with in the South. It's tough, and so it's always good to come back home.
Now, you spent some time down in Mexico, too, didn't you?
I do. I still do.
I do.
For NASCAR, I help manage a late model series in Mexico, and also a modified late model tour that runs in the New England states. So I stay pretty busy. You know, I'm well involved in NASCAR, running and managing those two tours. And then also I race a lot with my son, and he's 11, so I stay busy doing that as well. So it's, you know, I guess once you get into this, it's hard to get out.
Boy, it's an addiction, isn't it? Well, good to have you back out here. I know you got some other commitments you got to get taken care of, but I really did want you to hear that race interview, and I will definitely get you a copy of it because, man, it was fun trying to find those clips.
Well, that was great to hear that, and I got to see George Jefferson walking around the garage there today. You know, he was my car owner at that race that we just listened to, and so it's brings back a lot of good memories.
Actually, we played a George Jefferson interview from that, and they asked, what's the key to racing out here at Monroe? And he says, just keep it up, keep the tires on the track.
Yeah, that's what he always said. That's what he always said, don't spin your tires.
Well, Chad, thank you so much for coming up. It was good to meet you, and I'll definitely get you a copy of that. It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
All right, Chad Little, and let's get back to coverage as we are back underway. Lap 34 of the Les Schwab Bomber race out here at Evergreen Speedway. And let's go back down to Kelly Hale and Scott Ellsworth.
Take a little bit of a peek down to the inside and then go back behind Sunholm. 15 laps to go. Make it 14 and a half as they're going down the backstretch. Jill Wang, she now knows it's time to go if she's got the horsepower. And Kelly Mann sitting back there. He's watching it. He's got the catbird seat. He's hoping that those two cars start to mix it up, and that opens the door for him. And he's leaving himself some room back there. Now Lang again looks off of turn number four to the inside. Could not make the move as Sunholm held her off. Here again, there, turn number one. She's much quicker entering that turn.
Well, they may be former teammates, and they may be friends, and they pit next to each other, and they'll help each other out on a race night. But when you see these two hit the track, you better believe that they're not afraid to mix it up with each other as we've seen it before.
Trouble. Dwayne Humany hard into the wall. Bill Yellow is going to come out. Dwayne Humany really backed it hard into the wall. I saw Bill Mann down onto the bottom. I didn't see completely what happened. But Dwayne Humany certainly getting the worst of that.
So once again, this is going to put the top four, and now Nealon is also there. And it looks like Merlin Cook, Travis Blackwood, they're all going to be starting together because there's no lap cars between them. Wow, our second caution coming out here on lap number 37.
First all right, one what we're going to do, we're back out. Steve Moreland here and Dan Beecher, Tom Glithrow down trackside as the second caution of the Bomber races come out. We're going to take a break. We will come back and have the remaining 13 laps of the first 50-lap feature out here at the Washington 500. And, Dan, as we watch some of the stuff while we were visiting with Chad Little and Scott Whitmore, these guys, man, they're having a lot of fun out there, and they're very serious about getting
well, they're getting it mixed up now.
Yeah.
That's one way to that old five car, they're backed into the wall just like the big boys do at Daytona, and the whole car's flat from back seat back. But, no, it's right there. It's shown the experience in a lot of these drivers that have been running out here for a while. And then you can see who the rookies are and with less experience on this big track. You would think it would be easier to drive because you hold on to the steering wheel and hold it straight for the longest time, but it's not. These walls are very big, very intimidating.
And very unforgiving.
Yeah.
You know that.
I've met a few of them before.
Yeah.
And it's a great experience, you know, for them.
You know, one thing we really need to do before we go to a break is really recognize a lot of the people that are out here at Evergreen Speedway and at racetracks all over the Pacific Northwest each and every week. Sky Valley Towing out there hooking up to the cause of the caution out here. And looks like the black flag is being thrown to the driver of car number 15 in the Bomber Series, so he'll report to the pits. But all of the support people, the EMTs.
Well, you have the Cascade push trucks, and I was a member of that for many, many years.
Really?
I was vice president. Yeah.
Wow.
I've been up here for a lot of years, and I've been an official down here with the Superstocks and stuff when I was racing on the Friday night show and stuff. So I've seen a lot go on. And, you know, what the push trucks get are two people into the gate free, and that's all they get for showing up here every week. And yeah, we've tore up our equipment. And one year for the 500 here, it rained, so we were pulling around the big white tires. Well, at that time, one tire stood up and turned sideways and decided to take the side of my truck off. So, you know, and the racetrack ended up paying for it. Tom was the general manager at the time, and you know, it was an accident, one of those kind of things. But the push trucks don't get anything other than us talking about it. It's all volunteer. It's a club that is a very tight club. So you got to give them credit for, especially the way the gas prices are these days, just come up here and start running around. I've burned up a tank of gas in my pickup just trying to dry the track out, and then after you get it all dried out, it starts raining. I mean,
kick you when you're down.
Yeah, and so the push trucks really don't get that much credit for all they do.
Well, Sky Valley Towing is hooking up to the 05 of Dwayne Humany. The lineup, as we are going to have 10 laps to go when we come back, Lane Sundholm, Joe Lang in second place, Kelly Mann in third place, Frank Cowgill, and the number 11 of Merlin Cook in the top five. Let's take a break. We are out here at Evergreen Speedway covering the Washington 500, and when we come back, we'll bring you the last 10 laps of the Bomber race and at least get the lineup for the ASA Aero Exhaust Northwest Tour brought to you before we have to break away to Aqua Sox Baseball. Remember, tomorrow afternoon, right after Aqua Sox Baseball, we'll have tape delayed coverage of the Allstate 400 at the Brickyard.